You're listening to The Weekly Show on Discourse.
All right, let's say that we've started, but I don't now, as of right now. But I don't really feel like I'm ready, because I've just been going through the stories that I've got in Feedly, and they are virtually every bloody one of them is about dirty politics.
Are you recording, by the way?
Or about Ferguson, you know, the whole crazy police response. And I don't super especially want to talk about either of those goddamn things, frankly. So I don't know.
I'm not really quite interested in both of them.
I am definitely interested in both of them, but honestly, I'm feeling a little bit of fatigue today. Part of that is because we've been trying to get people on the show. I decided it would be fun if we, you know, went way back in time, like back to season one, when there used to be heaps of people on. We used to have lots of guests on. Like that. Do you remember the Christchurch episode, which I still maintain is the best episode of Discourse ever made?
Pretty good.
I had like 7 people on in one episode or something. And it was cool because I just, you know, spoke to a person for as long as it actually was necessary to talk to them. Then we moved on to the next person. And that was great. And I really enjoyed that. But it is, goddamn, is it a lot of work trying to wrangle people? But here's the thing about Discourse. This is probably going to strike people as being weird, but people actually are very happy to come on the show the first time. Like, there are people who've been on, you know, a couple of times now, and they're not super excited to come on again. But we've never had a problem getting people on the show. Like, if there was a specific person I wanted, then maybe it wouldn't be possible because of, like, a scheduling conflict. But, like, virtually everyone I've ever asked to come on has come on the show. Until the last 2 weeks, when it's just been absolutely impossible to get people on, to even get responses from people. It's like people aren't even reading their email anymore. It's very strange.
For email.
Yeah, it's very strange. So like last week, I can't remember what his name is, the civilian party guy.
Ben Uffendall.
He still hasn't replied to my email inviting him on last week. So fuck the civilian party.
Well, I don't think he's going to be on last week then.
I wish he could have been on last week. But he's not going to be on in the future or past now, it turns out, probably, because that motherfucker is blacklisted for his stupid party.
All right, cool.
Now, let's talk about the civilian just for a moment. Have you heard of a website called The Onion?
Vaguely familiar with it.
You know how on The Onion, you're definitely familiar with it. You know how on The Onion they've got really funny videos? And they also have like fake Vox Pops where they talk to people. And they have like fake info graphics, and those are really funny. And then they also have like longer form articles, and that will have a joke in the first paragraph, and you'll go, oh yeah, that's funny enough, and then they will repeat that joke 25 more times over like a 700 word article, which needed only to be about 20 words, and those are always like you stop reading those pretty quickly after visiting The Onion for a little while. And you just stick with the infographics and the videos and the fake Vox Pops. Well, The Onion is basically those articles. That's all it is. It's like one joke beaten to fucking death. That's all that The Civilian is. And The Civilian Party, same fucking thing. One joke beaten to death. And if that guy had come on, I would be their booster. Well, I probably would have just said the same thing directly to his face or right into his ear hole through Skype. Those guys. If you can't front up to Discourse, that now obviously it's turned into a hostile place to the civilian party, but it would have been a very welcoming place. Like, it feels like a pretty natural fit. If you can't front up here, you can't front up fucking anywhere. So fuck that guy.
Okay, not taking it personally.
I'm not taking it personally. I just think that he should fucking check his email. Look, I'm down with someone saying can't make it. Don't want to do it. I only want to do stuff where the audience is actually greater than 2 or 3 people. Like, I'm totally fine with that. Now, I've spoken to people this week who had very specific and very good reasons to not come on the show. And I hadn't thought of them. And I agree, it turns out. And I'm not going to hassle that guy because, you know, did I talk to you about that off the air? Anyway, I'm not even going to name him on the air because I respect his reasons for not wanting to talk about this particular thing. And now, actually, honestly, but we have got a couple of people on tonight. We have managed to pull our fingers out of our asses and get a couple of people on tonight. But
talk about something you don't want to talk about.
That's correct. But also, I don't even know if it's going to record properly because we've never used this software with more than just the two of us.
Oh, my God. It totally does. But
all right. Well, let's see. I'm gonna add someone, and we'll just see what happens. You let me know if that other guy he doesn't know that we're already recording. So this could be funny. It could be amusing. I don't even know. Let's see.
Hopefully he's not in the midst of committing a crime while he answers or something.
What?
Hopefully he's not in the midst of committing a crime when he answers.
Who would be committing a crime?
The person we're calling who doesn't know we're recording.
You mean we would hear audio evidence of his ongoing criminal act? Hello, Matthew. We've already started the show. I should have told you.
That's quite all right. Can you hear me properly?
Properly enough. I think I'm correct in saying that you have now, probably 3 years ago, completed your PhD. You are now Dr. Matthew Dentith. Last time you were on, you were merely you were the apprentice, and this time you are the master.
I was simply the master then. Now I am the doctor. So I've regenerated.
Right. Okay. And have you got like a bizarro world moustache and like a Ming moustache and a little scary little goatee, little soul patch goatee?
I kind of wish I did, except I can't grow facial hair, so it would have to be a disguise. It would look incredibly false. So unfortunately, whilst listeners can imagine that I'm stroking my moustache as I speak, what I'm really doing is actually stroking my baby face.
Okay, so
just rubbing your top lip.
Welcome.
Which is not weird.
Welcome, Doctor. Now, the Matthew is on because. For the same reason he was last time, he is an expert in conspiracy theories. He is a doctor, in fact, in conspiracy theories. Is that a fact?
That is a fact. Yes, my PhD is called In Defense of Conspiracy Theories. And to do a bit of advertising, I have a book coming out at the end of this year called The Philosophy of Conspiracy Theories.
I appreciate that you believe anyone who listens to this show will buy it.
It's going to be stolen.
No one's going to buy it for the sheer fact it's an academic book and it's priced out of normal buyers' price ranges. But out there, there's one person who might go, oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe I'll order it for my library. And that, my friends, is a sale.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN. It's surprisingly expensive.
I don't think that's going to help in this circumstance.
Well, you never know. There's ebooks out there. Unrelated. Now, obviously.
I've got an unproofed chapter I can send you.
For your
friend. Oh, actually, there are a few of those out there, I have to say.
So this week we have it was last week. When was it? Last Wednesday, last Thursday.
It was the day before our last Discourse podcast.
Right,
came
so
out.
It was
we
Wednesday.
Chose not to talk about it because we're bigger than that.
Fantastic timing. Now, obviously, we record live on Thursday mornings at 5:45 a.m. just in time to release the show.
Not 2 days earlier.
No, we definitely don't record on Tuesday nights. No way. I mean, who would try and record 2 days early? This is internet time we're dealing with. It has to be timely, or
because
it's completely irrelevant.
If we'd recorded this show on Tuesday, for example, we wouldn't know that Judith Collins had been fired / stepped down / jumped in front of a bus.
/ let get away with it again.
/
Yeah, and actually, I think you're illustrating quite nicely the problem with having any discussion about dirty politics now, which is that you have no idea what's going to get dumped next, and everything we say could be completely wrong in exactly 7 minutes.
Totally worth it.
All right, so we can, though, probably talk about things that happened in the past. And so John Key...
Yes, I think we can.
With some confidence. Not 100%, but, 80% probably. I believe it's probably true that John Key and various other right-wing pundits and spin machines have suggested that Nikki Hager is a left-wing conspiracy theorist. And you might be able to say that was true if you'd heard about Secret Power and it was like 1996 and you didn't know that, like, I think literally every single thing in the book turned out to be true. Like, this was all about international listening stations and Waihopai and GCSB and all that craziness that, we're now pretty familiar with the Five Eyes. We know that there's international intelligence sharing. Snowden has blown the top off it. All these memos have been released. We know all of the details.
I'm sure Matthew will agree, but the fact that he was right doesn't mean he's not a conspiracy theorist.
Well, actually, that's one of the things that I want to ask the doctor. If you are right, are you a conspiracy theorist or are you just a conspiracy finder?
Factist.
Yeah.
I would say you are a conspiracy theorist, because I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with being a conspiracy theorist. All a conspiracy theorist is someone who suspects that from time to time, a conspiracy is the best explanation of some event. And when we think about good investigative journalists, they've got to be conspiracy theorists of some stripe, because a good investigative journalist is the kind of person who goes, what aren't they telling us, and are they trying to hide something? So you've got to be a conspiracy theorist to engage in the kind of thing that Nikki Hager does, which is in-depth investigative journalism.
All right, but let's jump to the cut to the chase. Jump to the, I don't know.
Jump to the conclusion.
Let's jump to the conclusion. You tweeted a couple of times and threatened to write a blog post, which I don't think you've published yet, but maybe.
Yeah, although it may be out by the time this live recording goes out.
That's correct. Basically, examining the book from a conspiracy theory angle.
Yep, that's true.
Can you summarize, without spoiling your blog post, summarize the what's the conspiracy theory? What's the conspiracy fact? Where he might be making leaps to conclusions, or whatever.
Yep. All right. So my view on dirty politics is this. There are basically two conspiracy theories which are being put forward by Hager in Dirty Politics. The first, which is really well evidenced, is that Cam Slater, along with people like Simon Lusk, Jason Eade, and to a lesser extent people like David Farrar, have been engaged in a conspiracy to basically attack the left by appearing to be reasonable people of the right. People at home can't see that I'm using quote marks to actually say.
We can hear it. We can hear the air quotes.
Yeah, to reasonable people of the right, without actually revealing that A, Cam Slater has been paid by various bodies to write blog posts. B, he's getting information from a variety of different sources. C, he's engaging in rather unethical fishing expeditions to find the information he writes his blog posts on. We've always tried to present themselves as being kind of reasonable people in society, and actually it turns out there's a large conspiracy of a few people who are basically engaging in an effort to derail the left in order to support the National Party and its re-election. And I think that particular claim of conspiracy is really well evidenced based on what Hager has written.
So those are the conspiracy facts as you see them.
Yeah. However, the other theory that people are putting a lot of time and effort into trying to maintain is that this conspiracy is run out of the PM's office. And I'm just not convinced by the material that Hager has written that we can actually link what goes on in dirty politics to a concerted plot by senior members of the National Party. And I realize there are certain people who will be listening to this podcast and going, what the hell are you on? It's obvious in the book, but I actually don't think that Hager provides a good case for the claim that the conspiracy actually originates in the PM's office and is part of a National Party plot.
So that's a bit like the stuff with .com about whether or not the Prime Minister knew about .com before the raids. There's nothing so far, at least until September the 15th perhaps, that proves for sure that he knew about .com, but at the same time, you look at all the things we do know and you think, well, surely he must have. In the same way, I guess, you look at the things that are documented in Hager's book and think, well, surely the Prime Minister must have had some idea of what was going on.
Yeah, and anyone who's going to be objecting to my view is going to immediately point towards the case of Jason Eade. So Jason Eade is a former advisor to the Prime Minister, now working on the National Party's re-election campaign. Jason Eade appears to be Cam Slater's number one contact outside of Judith Collins in the National Party for getting dirt and disseminating dirt about the left. And Eade works with the Prime Minister. He's basically two doors down from the Prime Minister for most of the period that the book covers. And Eade is basically working with Slater almost on a day-by-day basis to defame the left. And people go, look, how can Eade have been working in the Prime Minister's office and senior members of the party just weren't aware of what he was up to? And I think... Yeah. Yep.
I was going to say, so I haven't actually read the book. Is Haga actually making a claim that the Prime Minister is involved? Or is it just that thing that... Because, I mean, what I haven't necessarily drawn that conclusion from what I've seen of the book, just that it's reflects incredibly poorly on his leadership to the extent that you either say, well, he was party to it, or he's incompetent for not knowing.
Or, but no, there is another option, and that is that he's not quite a party to it, because the whole system has been set up with built-in deniability, and Eid is an air gap.
In the same way that he won't ask Judith Collins about things, so he doesn't have to know.
If you don't ask, you technically don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is the very definition of, well, in this case, actually implausible deniability. Plausible deniability is based upon not being able to know. Deciding not to ask someone a question doesn't really make your deniability plausible. Yeah. It makes it more incredulous.
Yeah. But no, sure, I mean, it does mean that you can try and just wave it off. No, I'm not going to read the book. And actually, you can dispute what's in the book without being specific. But and then later on, when people come back to you with more facts, having done their actual journalistic job and verified some of this stuff, and you don't necessarily look like you're backing down because you didn't read the book.
Yeah, you can say, oh, well, look, I don't know, I hadn't read the book.
Hadn't read the book, still haven't read the
not
book.
Concerned.
So
at the end of the day, it's not a big deal. At the end of the day, I haven't read the book at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, these are just allegations being put forward by a crazy left-wing conspiracy theorist, apparently.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like we maybe need a slightly different word. Now I take your point that he is a conspiracy theorist, whether they are fact or not. He had a theory and he pursued it. He investigated it and he found it to be a fact. He is a conspiracy theorist. But that is being used as an insult, conspiracy theorist.
It's a pejorative term.
It's a pejorative term, exactly. Yep. So can we invent a new phrase to describe people who are conspiracy theorists, but they've actually proven it, not just to themselves.
I suspect you're willing to buy Matthew's book.
No, and another chance to plug it, coming out in November of this year. I mean, I've spent a lot of time thinking about why we use the term conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist as a pejorative, and whether there's any merit to trying to either redefine the term, which is what I do, or defend some notion that actually when a theory becomes official, it stops being a conspiracy theory as such. Yeah. I think the problem is a big metaphysical dilemma. If you make the claim that when a conspiracy theory is authorized, it stops being a conspiracy theory, because you get into a lot of trouble there. Mm-hmm. You get situations like the Moscow trials of the 1930s, which were labeled as the claim that actually the trials were a sham and that Stalin had ordered the particular verdicts was put forward as a conspiracy theory by John Dewey and the Dewey Commission, which sounds like an awesome rock band, but actually turned out to be a very dry commission into the crimes that Stalin committed whilst he was leader. And
it's a shitty rock band.
Yeah. Yeah, actually. And what you find is that eventually the conspiracy theory of Dewey and the commission ends up being vindicated by Khrushchev after Stalin dies. And it turns out they're just being tarred with that term the entire time. Mm. But what happens at that point when the conspiracy theory suddenly becomes revealed, then, does that mean it wasn't a conspiracy at all? And what happens when a official theory gets debunked and actually turns out to be a conspiracy after all, and the conspiracy theory becomes official? Why are official theories becoming conspiracy theories and conspiracy theories becoming official? Why not just go, look, sometimes the actual story is a theory about a conspiracy, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with admitting that sometimes your theories about conspiracies are the best explanation that's available.
And sometimes people who believe conspiracy theories are completely mental.
Oh, yeah, but then again, there are lots of people who believe all sorts of things for weird and wacky ways. So I talk about in the book the notion that, look, there are lots of atheists out there, and I'm an atheist, and I think that atheism is a very principled position to have about the non-existence of gods or God within the world. But there are a lot of atheists out there who are atheists for reasons which are not based upon reason or logic. They're atheists because they either hate Christianity, and thus they react to it. They were brought up as atheists, or they've never thought about atheism. And then you get kind of weird atheists like Richard Dawkins, who appears to be an atheist based upon notions from the 1960s, which no one actually debates in the literature anymore. And yet it would be irrational to tar the thesis of atheism based on the fact that there are some people who are atheists for bad reasons.
I'm an atheist for a bad reason.
But of course, some people definitely do tar atheists for that reason. Can I ask you one more thing then about another conspiracy theory on the same issue, but raised by another player, Cameron Slater, suggests that he has proven somehow that Kim.com is the man behind the hack. Have you read his post about that?
Yeah, so it's based upon a text sent by Kim.com to Wayne Tempero, I believe, which Slater has got access to. And it appears to be Kim.com saying something along the lines of, if memory serves correctly, that he would love to know who hacked Slater, smiley face. And Slater's taking that to be evidence that actually when Kim.com says, I'd love to know who did it, it wasn't me, actually he's really admitting it was him.
Now, to be fair, it's a winky face.
So, oh, well, if it's a winky face, then it's absolutely proven.
I wonder who hacked all of Slater's emails, winky face.
Yeah. And so he's taking that to be proof positive of a conspiracy by Kim.com to hack him, whilst actually it appears to be Kim.com doing his Kim.com thing of being a wacky gentleman at leisure trying to run a political party, having a bit of fun at Slater's expense. I really don't think we can make much of it.
And there's a bit more as well, because he also goes on to say, and another thing, I don't want you to be on the wrong side of this. I've been collecting evidence and witnesses for 3 months. I hired professionals to get me information. Slater immediately assumes the professionals involved are hackers, whereas I would assume the professionals are probably private investigators. There was more evidence that the whale dump data ended up on Mega, so clearly...
Oh, yes, but remember, the person who registered the whale dump Twitter address addressed it to Winston Peters in Parliament. So
Kim.com paid Winston Peters to hack Cameron Slater's email.
I mean, and that is a conspiracy theory I'm almost willing to endorse.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds brilliant.
We just need some YouTube videos to support it.
And all you do is put on this kind of voice as you talk over images of the Illuminati and the Freemasons, and you'll be able to prove that Kim.com is Winston Peters, and Winston Peters has always been Kim.com.
Which is hilarious, because I actually don't know about New Zealand First, but ACT is the party that was formerly represented in Parliament by a Freemason, for fuck's sake, and he's out on his fucking ear.
We could ask some hypothetical questions.
We could ask about fluoride.
We could ask about fluoride. What does Winston Peters think about fluoride?
He's probably got wooden teeth. He's very old.
Did you know Kim.com adds extra fluoride to his water?
He has 3 or 4 vaccines a day.
Actually, that's what keeps him alive, because he is, in fact, a psychic vampire.
It's also what keeps his true lizard form from emerging.
Right. Kim.com or Winston Peters?
Yes.
Yes. The only thing that, like, so you know what an event horizon is, and that's basically what is currently happening with Kim.com, and it's only HAARP that is containing the explosion.
It's true. HAARP, I mean, HAARP does an awful lot of good when you think about it. I mean, we can use it to attack our enemies. We can use it to contain political intrigue. When it comes to installations which were actually shut down earlier this year, the repercussions of them are immense. I mean, HAARP's not even active anymore, and it's still doing things.
Now, I should point out, I listened to your podcast, Matthew, and I've been meaning to complain about this fact. Because you were quite willing to write off HAARP based on the fact they shut down the installation. I can't believe you didn't consider the fact that they only shut down the one we know about.
Ooh, harp two.
A distraction.
Actually, I do believe we did mention briefly that there are all sorts of other installations around the world which will take the role of harp.
But how do you, I mean, there's a vast Arctic tundra. Well, there could be a whole other one there that no one even knows about.
Look, certain people on the internet believe that I actually work for the establishment. So do you think that I'm going to reveal the existence of not only HARP 2, but HARPs 3 to 5 on a podcast which is publicly available via iTunes? For God's sake, the real podcast is on the darknet, and on the darknet I reveal the truth.
Yeah, of course. The truth that you are and have always been a shape-shifting lizard person.
Yeah, I'm actually slipping out of my human skin as we speak because I'm finding it a little bit uncomfortable.
It's an audio podcast. You can do that.
Yeah, wait, you know, I just do it anyway.
All right, fair enough. So, Doctor, thank you very much for joining us. I think we have to go and talk to, I don't know, you're going to have to describe him probably. What sort of person are we going to talk to next?
Well, I'll probably try and call him first before we get too carried away. Let's see what happens if I go over here and then I go.
All right. While he's doing that, Dr. Matthew Dentith, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you on again. You were last on. I looked this up. Season 1, episode 14.
It's a long time. I mean, I've been waiting for this call for quite some time now, eagerly sitting at my keyboard going, no, I can't go out. They might call me. They may want to do me again. I mean, it could happen. I haven't shaved in years.
I've got truth that I need to share with the world.
I have to broadcast to all humanity, or at least the 5 people who are listening.
He got so sick of waiting, he made his own podcast. It's called The Podcaster's Guide to the Conspiracy. I listen to it quite regularly. It's quite short.
The Podcaster's Guide to the Conspiracy. Thank you, Matthew.
Quite all right. I will talk with you all anon.
All right. So you need to get on the next person.
Well, let's see. I'm going to try it now.
Hey, I can see that it's dialing, probably. Well, the icon isn't dialing. The icon is just a downwards handset. I don't know what the recorder is going to do. I don't have any idea what it just did. It says recording in progress, but for all I know, we are essentially talking to ourselves right now.
I have no idea why that's not calling, by the way. It doesn't do anything.
Start it again. All right, so you took it away?
No, I didn't do that. It's just shit.
Oh, all right.
Let's try that again. Go with that one, click on that.
It's fun talking about conspiracy theories. I can understand why he did his PhD on it, because there's such a wide field, so many crazy people and so many amazing stories that turn out to be true, but you would never have believed that they were true.
Yeah, it's really nuts.
Absolutely nuts.
And of course, there's a whole range of people who believe that because one conspiracy theory turned out to be true, that therefore all conspiracy theories are true.
Yeah, like when it turned out that, you know, NASA never landed a man on the moon, they just faked it. That blew the whole thing wide open.
Yeah, that's totally, I mean, that was when that was proven, it was amazing.
So you haven't read Dirty Politics. I've only barely scratched the surface. I've just started.
I couldn't get a printed one, and I toyed with the idea of getting an ebook, but I don't have an ebook reader, and doing it on my phone didn't really seem like it was not going to drive me completely crazy.
Did you resolve your problem with charging your Samsung Galaxy giant?
No, my Samsung Galaxy Note 3. It is currently with a repair company being looked at under warranty.
All right. Well, that's nice. So,
fingers crossed.
I've read the first chapter.
They'll almost certainly tell me it was not covered by warranty because it'll be some sort of, you know, like, what's the thing? It'll be water damage. That's what it'll be. It's always water damage.
It's water damage that caused the micro USB to go flaky, even though micro USB was clearly never designed for that purpose.
So my wife had her phone repaired a while ago, and they claimed it was water damage. And the thing they pointed out was a teeny, teeny amount of corrosion in the micro USB port, which, of course,
that's
is
on
a completely
the outside
unprotected
of the
port.
That's on the outside, for fuck's sake.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, so I argued with them, and eventually they agreed to repair it anyway, because, you know. So our other guest is just fiddling with his Skypey Watsits. I thought, see, it's good. Matthew summarizing his conspiracy theory angle on it's quite good. I know some people were a little bit skeptical of whether it was worth publishing anything in defense of the main bad actors in that book.
Mm, yeah.
But I think it's a fair point. I don't think, from what I understand of the book, it doesn't, you know, nothing ties directly to Key, which is almost certainly by design.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous for him to be emailing Slater directly.
Yeah.
Even from a Hotmail address.
And frankly, there are a lot of things that are ridiculous in this story. The behavior of these people is ridiculous. But I think it's also ridiculous to expect the Prime Minister of a country to read a fucking whole book.
I think he could probably read a book if he wanted to.
Do you think he's got time? Like, but he was asked about that within maybe a day. He's actually busy. One fucking chapter I've managed. One chapter.
He does work 18 hours a day.
It doesn't really... Well, he probably doesn't.
He says he works 18 hours a day.
I am very dubious about that.
Well,
it depends on what counts as work. Like, if you're just, like, sitting in your office chatting to Jerry Brownlee, I don't think that's work.
All right, I'm just going to try a thing because I can't add this other participant to the call. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call him and then I'm going to hang up on you and add you to that call because Skype is simple.
All right, well, let's see if I manage to remember to edit this bit out.
Yeah. There you go. It works.
It works.
Adam, what are you? And who are you?
I'm a security consultant, I guess. But I don't know, it depends whether you want me to... I mean, I guess I'm here in my kind of KiwiCon hacker scene capacity, but whatever. It's not like it's a secret who I am or, you know, whatever.
Okay,
but, I guess, computer security guy is good enough.
Computer security guy, and he's here to confirm that he is Wildump.
No.
You know, I know for a fact if Adam were Whale Dump, then the Twitter avatar for Whale Dump would be a whale taking a shit.
This is absolutely true. Yes, it would totally be that. Adam, also, the meme JPEGs would be better because those were some newbie ass. They were painful meme JPEGs.
They're not good, are they?
Meme JPEGs.
You've been watching this whole thing from afar. You're in Australia at the moment, doing probably some amazing work. You're probably cracking banks and destroying government databases, but being paid to do so by those banks and governments.
That's good. I am in Canberra at the moment. You can take from that what you will.
Thanks from that. You're making sure that government ministers don't get their emails hacked, I suspect. But have you been following this whole thing from afar?
Yeah, it's been. I went to the book launch.
Did you?
In Wellington, because it was just around the corner from my office, and we were curious as to what was. What the story was.
Well, I suppose when you went, you thought it was going to be the GCSB and SIS and Five Eyes and Echelon and all that stuff.
That was the scuttlebutt, yeah. I mean, everyone assumed that it was going to be Snowden leaks, from New Zealand. Because Nikki Haag has been working with, WikiLeaks guys and presumably the, kind of Snowden, that extended crowd on and off for the last few years. So we were kind of expecting that and, we thought that was what was going to happen.
That's
but
political shit.
Yeah. Well, actually, we went to the launch, and the crowd didn't know what was going on. Nikki's daughter got up and read out the opening, and it was this, she starts, it gives the name, the title of the book, and briefly describes it, and then really launches into reading out one of the emails between Jason Eade and Cameron Slater, and there's just this, like, rolling snigger across the crowd as they start to understand what's going on, this sort of, like, slightly hesitant, chortle growing into like genuine sort of Jabba the Hutt belly laugh across the crowd, and it was a beautiful thing.
That sounds about what you'd expect. So the reason I was interested in talking to you, first of all, do you know anything more than what's in the book? I hear from some people that the information that the book is based on was actually floating around in some circles and some, underground circles, you might say, for a little while, and other people had eyes on it already.
I hadn't heard any scuttlebutt to that end. I mean, the hacker scene's a pretty big place. We have to assume that this is someone domestic. No one from outside New Zealand would care enough to mess with New Zealand politics like this particular hacker is. So it's got to be someone in the local scene, but I certainly didn't hear any particular scuttlebutt beforehand. But I mean, on the other hand, we've seen, the Labour Party screw up their computer security. We saw, obviously, the Conservative Party's hilarious attempts at securing their stuff. Everything on the internet is insecure.
And I see a whole bunch of national websites are running, national candidate websites are running a really out-of-date CMS that I can't remember the name of.
Everyone shit stinks in terms of computer security. So, the fact that people are getting owned, I guess, isn't too much of a surprise. But, there's one thing between... pointing out security flaws like in a Conservative Party website. We saw that a few last week sometime. Some kid, found that, you know, Colin Craig's password was Colin123 or something.
Yeah, it was already populated. It was
because it was already filled in the password. Like, how do you even do that? Like, that takes real special effort to make that happen. But, you know, we saw that happen, and there was no political fallout, right? He didn't even get sued, which, you know, that's a really, you know, he must have been very sad about that. But, you know, I guess there's a very big difference between hacking a website and a few computer security geeks laughing, and then hacking a website and then having Nikki Hager, you know, publish a book about it.
I didn't look at that form that had the pre-filled out password, but I think I probably know how it happened, and that is that Colin Craig couldn't remember even that simple password. So whoever runs his site for him hard coded it in. Just put it, straight in there.
But have you seen the whole? Because I read that thing, and it's they rolled their own PHP CMS like in this. Brilliant. Why?
Of course
it's
you would.
It's not even remotely difficult to find a perfectly usable one that is relatively secure.
Well, Discourse uses WordPress, and that's why we're completely bulletproof and can never be hacked.
I don't know. I guess Colin Craig must just, you know, approach his computer systems in the same way he approaches his policy, you know, with crack.
Just find some dude who'll do it. It's probably his next door neighbor's son. So then the next thing is, have you seen any of the stuff about, like, have you seen or speculated at all about how the information came to be? There's a lot of stuff about the denial of service attack that Whale Oil fell to in the beginning of the year, and apparently that's related. Any theories, any idea how it might have gone down?
Yeah, so that's the story in the book, right? Is that, you know, Cameron Slater was a jerk on the internet. Some people took offense. He got DDoSed off the internet, and then this kind of hand waving, and his email spool pops out, right? And it's really, I haven't seen any.
But see, that's the thing. It's not just the email spool. It's a whole lot of
email spool and Facebook messages. Chats
is the weird thing.
Yeah, so it's not entirely clear what the connection between those two events is, other than, you know, obviously sometimes you use it on our service as a distraction, and sometimes, you know, you can. There's no direct way to go from denial of service to compromised mail spool. Something else happened in the middle of that, and, you know, no one other than, you know, Mr. Whale Dump on Twitter, you know, I imagine knows exactly what went down. You can speculate about the ways that it would happen. I mean, there's a number of common options, right? I mean, you know, his blog got hacked because rubbish software or rubbish passwords, or he got hit by a, you know, email Trojan or a drive-by download, like all the regular ways you get compromised, and then that gets escalated into compromised things. But none of those are related to denial of service, and we're just not going to know until, you know, either Mr. Whale Dump, writes a T-file describing how he did it, or, you know, the police catch up with him, or, you know, Cameron Slater gets a competent IT guy and runs forensics. You know, we just don't know yet.
So the competent IT guy is the next thing I want to talk about. There's two posts, two very specific posts on Whale Oil that amused the shit out of me in the last few days. One is a computer forensics guy who emailed him, apparently. There's none of it I'm going to read, but it's insane. It's supporting the Chem.com was the hacker idea. I think. But, like, do you want to summarize any of the insanity of it? It's very peculiar.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, the first thing that's hilarious, of course, is the idea that, you know, that it was Chem.com. I mean, that's not to say Chem.com hasn't hacked things in the past and, you know, presumably still knows how to do it. And, you know, some of the guys that hang out with Chem.com, you know, the dudes who actually work on Mega, you know, they're very competent, right? They're, if you were at KiwiCon last year, you saw Bram and Matthias, you know, give their presentation. They really know their stuff. But, you know, they're not really going to risk their, you know, already precarious legal situation by getting involved in this kind of rubbish. And, you know, clearly Chem.com is already involved enough politically and spending enough money, you know, trashing politicians in the legitimate way, you know, actually campaigning. So, I mean, it doesn't sound credible to me that it would be Chem.com in the first place. But what's really funny with the attribution that they're doing is the idea that because Mr. At Whale Dump, or Mrs. Atwell, it might be a lady hacker, is posting the emails on Mega somehow involves Chem.com. Like that link, which we've seen, you know, Whale Oil draw, and I think even, you know, Prime Minister was saying,
that's
like,
right.
That's a bit weird, right?
The luminaries turned up on Mega. That was Chem.com's fault.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that no one ever downloaded it.
Except Whale Oil.
Except Whale Oil, that's right.
Oh my God, it's another circle that comes right back to that same asshole.
joking. But this guy was great because he sent this long email about how it was, how the book says that Jason Ead accessed the Labour computer, but there's something about, and if you know what a dynamic and a static IP address is, most IP addresses are allocated to computer users. A dynamic, that is, it never changes and it'll always be the same. It's like, well, what? Like, that's backwards. And then there is a whole lot of other stuff in there that's the same. But then it got better because that was, I don't know, that was on like Tuesday maybe, or I don't know, sometime late last week, maybe Saturday. The next one was he's being actively hacked.
Oh, yeah, and that... Oh, that's it. I read it, and it was painful. Like, I don't know. I honestly think the guy he's dealing with is actually taking the piss, because the description of the hack. So Cameron's posted a picture of this email with a link to Mega, clearlykim.com, which when clicked on serves up a video file, and the video file doesn't play properly. And the implication is that the video file is malicious and is going, you know, attempting to compromise his computer to, you know, do things. And of course, that's, you know, that's all believable. Up to there, all good. I'm fine with that. This is the kind of thing that people would do, and that is the way you go about it. But then the analysis of this, you know, alleged malicious video file, just it goes off into, like, you know, Star Trek gobbledygook.
It's like when they write computer forensic stuff on CSI.
Yeah, it is. It is, isn't it? Yeah, put all the words together. But no, it's like, to someone who, you know, looks at that kind of thing for a living, right? Which is what I do, right? You may as well be saying that he's, you know, he's rephasing the warp into modulator. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Authorize the whole pledging.
exactly right. To emit an inverse tack impulse. I mean, that's what's going on here.
My favorite bit, possibly my favorite bit. There's so many favorite bits in this post. My first favorite bit is, in the space of just 3 minutes, this logging file, he's got electronic listening and logging programs running. In the space of just 3 minutes, it generated 2.1 megabytes of log files.
Wow, 2.1 megabytes.
That's amazing.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Like, well, you know, that is how you measure things, by the size of the log file. Like, you know, it doesn't matter about how you use it.
Yeah, I imagine you guys have like briefings after things. You're like, well, that penetration attempt that generated, that was a 5.7 megabyte attack.
I know, that's a big one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep. And then it goes on to say, this is a direct quote. So the security specialist says, "My final conclusion is it's a full-on hack utilizing UPnP devices that interrogate the LAN for any machine, establishes a MAC address-based comms channel circumventing the firewall and NAT, over which he tries to establish a streaming scripting attack, which I assume, if I'd let it run, would eventually try and stack smash the nvstream.exe service to gain admin-level access to the PC. After that, you're open to him completely."
Yeah.
Like, that is. I will create I'll use Visual Basic to create a GUI and track his IP address.
Isn't step one of that putting a device on the network?
More to the point.
Because he said a UPnP thing, right?
Yeah, but he was doing the whole thing. No, that's real, apparently. But he was doing the whole thing through a VPN as well. So it's like, it doesn't even.
Yeah, each of those like individual bits, like of that sentence, like, are plausibly a thing, right? I mean, there have been bugs in UPnP implementations on people's home routers. So, I mean, using UPnP to break into a home router is a thing that does happen, and you can. I mean, typically that's a thing that you would use in a persistence scenario. So you've compromised the desktop, and then you use the UPnP to either allow you back in and out of the network in the future, or you use it to manipulate the firewall state so that you can move around the network. There, you know, there have been UPnP related devices, but they don't establish MAC address based comms channels, i.e., that's just an Ethernet frame, i.e., talks over Ethernet, i.e., how it works.
It's a network
normally
device.
Right? So yeah. And then obviously, like, the streaming scripting attack makes no sense. That's not even a thing. I mean, you could pick one or the other. And then I guess, right, maybe if nvstream.exe was the media player you were using to play the video file that was coming in across the streaming scripting, then plausibly it might have a buffer overflow, which is what a stack smash is, vulnerability. But those aren't exploitable generally on any modern operating system. So maybe if Cameron's running, like, Windows XP unpatched, and a custom media player called nvstream.exe, and he has some kind of vulnerable dealing router, then plausibly, okay, we're getting close to, but no, just not.
I think
someone's taking the piss.
The MAC address thing turned up in the other email as well, where he said something about because IP address has changed, you wouldn't know if it was the same person. But the only way to see what computer was actually accessing the website via IP address would be to look at the MAC address for that particular computer, and not many websites record that. No, they don't.
Because OSI layer says no.
Because it never gets there. It's just it doesn't even get close.
Yeah, but obviously there is a lot of bad technology going on.
I don't even think there's a way that Apache could know.
No, well, unless you're on the, if you're on the same piece of Ethernet directly attached to the web server, then plausibly it could log it if it wanted to, but you're not.
It's
I mean, I'm either there's a complete nut bar involved, or someone's taking the piss, and it could be either.
Or is he just getting people to make shit up to back his?
Oh, okay, I guess that's third option. Yes,
I'm a victim story. Anyway. That's all I want. I just wanted to talk to someone who definitely knows their shit, because I like to think I know a little bit of stuff sometimes, but frankly, I'm an idiot. And and I know for a fact that you're not.
Well, thank you. And I, having worked with you, Dylan, I guess I confirmed that on occasion you're an idiot, but...
Yeah. Appreciate that. I still tell the wonderful story about the best computer prank anyone's ever played on me.
Was that one of mine? Oh, dear.
Which was the one you did where you set up a script. He used AT in Linux because we were using Linux desktops because that was cool in 2002.
It was, yeah.
The
year of Linux on the desktop.
Yeah, exactly.
But just that one year, though.
Well, yeah, it's been and gone. Like, we peaked in 2002. Managed to most.
But you managed to, you had a script that would AT itself for a random time, and then it would basically roll the dice and, you know, decide whether it was going to do something or nothing. And if it did something, it would either shift my key map one key to the left or one key to the right for a short period of time, and then put everything back to normal, and then set itself off on the background to run again at some random period of time in the future. And when my job at that time was coding, it was infuriating that I'd be typing along quite well, and suddenly everything would fall apart, and I'd stop, and I'd go, okay. I'd look at the keyboard, I'd type, you know, echo, and it would not be echo, it would be WXGI, and I'd be like, what the fuck? Backspace, do it again, and then it'll be fine. And I thought I was going completely mental.
It was a beautiful thing to watch, and I know I should feel like a jerk, but it was beautiful.
In your defense, you didn't let me suffer too long.
It was only a couple of weeks, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't even that. I think it was about an hour. And then, you went, and then
I don't think it was,
I think someone else did actually sort of showed me what was going on, because I was clearly losing my mind.
It was an hour because that was the point where I upped the frequency, because the previous 2 weeks you'd just been making typos.
Like, when I came back from the States last year, my coworkers where I work now had hidden a teeny little piezo speaker in my roof tiles and plugged it into an iPad in the next room, and it periodically through the day they would play Nickelback at very low levels.
Oh, that's just cruel. Like, it's one thing to mess with a man's keyboard, but playing Nickelback, that's just
I couldn't really hear it because it was so quiet. I just assumed it was coming through the wall from next door or something. And apparently, I didn't even really notice it. Apparently, I would occasionally start singing along. And it wasn't until the batteries in the little speaker thing got really low and it started to really go that it really annoyed me. And then I actually found out what was going on. But that was 2 weeks they kept that up.
2 weeks of subliminal Nickelback.
2 weeks of subliminal Nickelback.
Wow. Now, see, that's messed up. That's just sick.
So, David Farah, if we can bring it back from 2002. Forward, perhaps. So, David Farah, Kiwi Blog Coins, it's a really terrible website that you shouldn't visit. Not as bad as Wailo, but hey, you know, it's all relative, right?
If you do visit Kiwi Blog, just don't view the comments.
I've either been hacked or spied on, is the headline. I'm going to read you the first three paragraphs, and I hate that, but I'm going to. I started reading more fully the Nikki Hager book yesterday. Actually, no, would he say Hager? The Nikki Hager book yesterday, and the footnotes in the book. To my shock, I realized that Hager had info in the book that could not have come from the hacking of Cameron Slater, but could only have come from my computer, my apartment, or my office. Specifically, he refers to two copies of two scripts used by my company, Curia Research, this year. There is it's kind of Nationals company, but all right. There is absolutely no way they could have come from Cameron Slater's computer systems, as Cameron doesn't have them. No one has them but me and my office. So it's like, okay, only you have them. And 100 people in your office. But there's no way that this could possibly have leaked out. I thought about how this could have happened, he goes on. The two most likely scenarios are that my computer systems have also been hacked. Right, so that's his number one most likely scenario. Or that someone physically removed the scripts from my office or possibly apartment. That's right, the Pink Panther sneaked in through your fucking window.
All of these scenarios make me feel sick and make me worry about the security of the 100-plus staff working for me. Right, but he doesn't believe that it could possibly have been his staff, because he goes on to say his staff are mainly young students who I can't quote, I can't imagine would suddenly decide to send a copy of my scripts to Nikki Hager. So he's got like, he's got over 100 staff. Most of them are like 19-year-olds. And he thinks that the most likely thing is that he's been hacked, or that maybe someone's broken into his apartment. Fucking yeah. Seriously, man.
Okay, we had him up about this. Well, I say we. I think probably mostly Russell Brown, but I joined in at the end about this on Twitter. And he eventually conceded that he thought perhaps Russell Brown
hacked
Nikki Hager had someone pose as a person looking for work and get a job deliberately to steal these documents. That was what he would say that might have happened.
Impossible. Left wingers would never get a job. It'd never occur to them.
The truth is, of course, his computer's been hacked. Well done, is in there.
It's entirely plausible that his computer's been hacked, but no, I think the fact that, you know, students who don't want to vote for National work for
students are renowned for their right wing leanings and sympathies towards people like David Farrer.
Exactly right. They just love to pay their student loans and you know, go through university slaving away to then continue to slave for the rest of their life in modern society. That is what students love.
You know, his computer probably has been hacked, but it's just like by a porn dialer or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, statistically, it's just not possible his computer's not hacked. Everyone's computers get hacked by something, especially if you browse around on the internet. I don't want to speculate what David Farrer does on the internet.
Are you guys seeing all the same ads that I'm seeing on all the web pages? Every time I load an ad, just like a million pop-ups. You guys see that, right?
yes, that's
dear, correct. Oh dear. Maybe if you ran Linux on a desktop, Dylan, then you wouldn't have that. I mean, you'd have 100 other problems, but you wouldn't have that one.
Yeah, well, for one thing, Skype wouldn't work because he wouldn't have audio drivers.
I love the fact that I've tried running, at various since about 1996 run Linux on my desktop, and I'm sorry, I just keep going back to Windows.
OS X's all right.
I don't like OS X.
OS X is not as good as... It's not as good as...
Angry.
Hey, I mean, listen, we absolutely peaked at Windows 7, and then it's all downhill from there. But, you know, it's all right for if you just full screen everything and swippy swipe. It's a technical term, swippy swipe.
Yeah. Swippy swipe.
I have a question for you guys before we go.
Yes.
Do you think that there is a strong correlation between misspelling of Hager and your approval or disapproval of his book? Because like everybody who dislikes it spells it Hagar, H-A-G-A-R. Anyone who likes it spells it correctly, H-A-G-E-R, rhymes with lager. I think there is a strong correlation here. What do you think?
I think you're correct.
It probably is right. Did you see the parody piece that Toby Manhire wrote for the...
I was amazed how many possible ways he could come up with the spell.
It was so good. I was like every time I saw his name come up, I was like, how's he going to do it this time? Different misspelling every time. Beautiful.
It was a beautiful piece, Toby.
Thanks for offering your expertise, Adam. I'm sure we'd like to get you on again next time we're talking about some stupid internet security bollocks.
Things are going. That will probably be pretty soon.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what... You don't have any idea who Whale Dump is? You know who he is, don't you?
It's got to be someone local, but no, I don't know. But I'm sure looking forward to... it reminds me of Lulzsec, right? You know, the waking up in the morning, I'm wondering what hilarity and schadenfreude is going to be on Twitter this morning. But
yeah, every time I go away from Twitter for a few hours, I come back and I'm like, oh, I wonder if Whale Dump's released anything weird.
Yeah. it's a beautiful thing. Apart from the mental image of Cameron Slater, you know, straining to take a shit, but you know, other than that, it's a beautiful thing.
I hadn't had that yet. Thank you.
Oh boy, you're welcome. Glad to be of service, gentlemen.
We both have children, so in some ways, we actually like it when other people take shits, because if they're not taking a shit, then they might be sick.
I love the tweet that happened just before the first little zip file was released that said a small dump coming this afternoon. I was like, yeah, I feel the same way.
Well, I'm glad to see we're all still childish on the internet.
Yes,
constantly.
Thank you very much, Adam. It's been great having you on.
Have fun in Canberra. Guys. I hear it's a wonderful place to spend.
Oh, it is.
Nights.
It's stunning. Mm-hmm.
Amazing nightlife, I hear.
Amazing. Yeah.
you're the boss of the buttons, Dylan, and I bet you're going
to
end my...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't know how to make any of this.
You're going to end my call too, I bet.
I don't know how it works. It's all too complicated. I can't even get the thing to come up again. I have to go over here.
Well, I can press the button. I've got a button.
I've got this.
I can press it.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
I think that actually might have worked correctly.
We're still here.
Normally, it falls apart at this point.
Yeah, no, but that's because we all press buttons.
Wow, brilliant. I've got a lot of tabs, and we probably won't go through most of them.
Let me go to one, seeing as I haven't had a story for the last, 600 shows.
Okay.
Quite recently, as we record this, but 2 days ago, since you're listening to it, the police union, specifically Greg O'Connor, who's
these motherfuckers.
They've got a list of things they'd like to see come out of the next election.
Fuck them. They can't have anything.
Policy they'd like. So they'd like to raise the minimum drinking age, the minimum alcohol purchasing age to 20 again, which I just can't agree with ever.
Yeah.
They'd like to impose trading hours to ensure alcohol is not sold after 10 p.m. from off-licence venues like supermarkets and after 3 a.m. from bars. After 10 p.m? A nationwide gang patch ban.
What?
Well, that just seems futile. Surely if you ban patches, then some other form of identification arrives.
And what is actually a gang patch? I mean, I know it's, a piece of fabric that says Mongrel Mob on it, and it's probably on a leather vest or jacket. But a piece of fabric that identifies some particular organization that you belong to could be like a printed corporate singlet. How do you actually define that? So do you say
see how they define it in law?
It has to be a criminal gang, because then you actually have to define what are the criminal gangs.
I assume if it happened
and
in
the next step,
they'd empower someone to make a list. Like there'd be some agency would be allowed to identify specifically, these specific patches are banned, and they just keep adding things to that.
Right, but so then in the building industry, you get Bob Jones Carpenters 2009 struck off, Bob Jones Carpenters 2010 struck off, Bob Jones Carpenters 2011 currently trading. And you just create a new organization. It'd just be Mongrel Mob established 2014.
It does seem hard to understand how that could work, and I'm not sure it would make a great deal of difference.
And I just think generally in terms of civil liberties, people have to be able to join whatever groups they want, and they have to be able to, I think, hang out with whatever people that they want. Now, if they are engaging in criminal mischief, then that is a separate fact, and you need to sort out the criminality. But just wearing a fucking item of clothing, that should not be deemed criminal. I mean, the next step, they'll say that we can't have T-shirts that say, Jesus is a cunt. And you have to be able to wear stupid stuff. You have to be able to do offensive things, because people don't have a right not to be offended. And I think we don't have a right to say that just because we are scared or intimidated by the fucking Tongan Crip gang, the TCG, if that even still exists. I think that's a feeder into
did that one, exist? One of the,
TCG, yeah, sure did.
I did not know that. I remember
the Bloods.
Bees or not the Buzzy Bees. It wasn't that.
Killer Bees.
Killer Bees, there you go.
Yeah, and they were, and all of those more kind of youth-oriented gangs, they were all feeders into the more serious, grown-up, motorcycle gangs. We all know that most of those organizations are criminal organizations, and they do lots of really terrible things. But how do you actually – but, it's the crime that's the problem. It's not the jacket
not
that's
the
problem. Yeah. So, that's just one of many stupid things. So they do suggest that there should be sufficient frontline staff available to allow the police to do their goddamn job quickly.
They want 1,900 more staff.
That seems like a lot. That would be very expensive. But if that is the correct number, then we need to back them on that.
Yeah, absolutely. There needs to be, and they also want tasers for frontline officers. I'm not totally against that.
I'm not necessarily against the tasers. They haven't been misused as terribly here as we've seen them being used overseas. They have to be the ones with cameras, though.
Yeah.
Must be the ones with cameras.
They want more firearms training for officers, which I think is a fantastic idea.
More firearms training, I agree, because our police have a history of not hitting the target they're shooting at, or not being willing to take, or conversely, not being willing to take a more interesting shot that everyone knows that if you shoot at someone, you really have to shoot at center mass, because if you're shooting at them, something serious is happening and you are trying to take them down.
Yeah, they need to be
stopped. You probably can't just try and shoot someone in the leg, right? Because you increase the chances of missing. But wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if a guy who had a melee weapon, like a golf club, and was at a distance, wouldn't it be nice if they could just actually try to shoot them in the leg instead of shooting them in the chest 5 or 6 times? That would be pretty nice.
That would be good. Maybe other non-lethal weapons would be. Maybe having officers, having beanbag shotgun rounds available in some patrol cars would be helpful for. Yeah, it'd be quite good in that sort of situation. Anyway, but like comma after the firearms training, comma with a view to more police being armed full time. Not so keen on that.
Absolutely not.
Fine on cops having immediate access to firearms when they need them. So a lot of police cars have gun safes in them.
They're in the boot.
And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
What else? They want driver's license.
Don't move on so quickly. That's the key thing. That is a problem with what they're asking for. And they're hoping to just have that lost in the list and someone to go, oh, yeah, I agree with all of this. We absolutely must not allow ourselves to move to a fully permanently armed police force. Something profound changes at that point, and we must not do it.
No, I don't even think there's even remotely a good case.
There is no argument for it, really.
There's so few incidents, and tasers would be effective in many of the incidents where unarmed officers have been injured. So maybe having firearms more readily available would be helpful. But they don't. Yeah, there's no need, I don't think, for cops with guns on their hips all the time.
Yeah, CQB and negotiation training. That's all they really need. They need to be able to, like, once upon a time. Also. And this will be contrary to wanting to increase the numbers. Once upon a time, a police officer had to be a big, strong dude. Now, police officers can be little, small women and little, small men who are not able to physically restrain angry, violent criminals. And so suddenly you go from this point where they kind of need to have more serious weapons because our standards have dropped so much. But so
more reason to have more cops so they don't have to be individually in situations like that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Increasing the numbers so that there are very few times when it's a sole operator in a vehicle.
Because those are the times when we get these horrible results of cops being, beaten half to death or stabbed. They're on their own.
Yeah.
We want to take driver's licenses away from fleeing motorists.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something should be done.
Take their car away and auction it off.
Yep, crush it. No, what happened to that?
No, don't crush it.
All the cars. No,
I think it's insane to crush cars unless there is literally no way to restore them to serviceability.
Have you been to Motat in the last few years at all?
No, I haven't, but I expect I'm going to be going to the zoo in Motat a lot of times as of a few years from now.
Totally. You need to get the zoo passes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely worthwhile. But at Motat, they have the first crushed car, the Crusher Collins, the first car that was crushed. It's sitting there in Motat.
Crusher Collins? What? What? Collins?
Corruptly crushing Collins. I don't know. They want police to have greater powers to intervene in brewing disorder situations such as out-of-control parties. I don't think that's a power that wouldn't be abused, so it doesn't seem like a great idea. They should have some power, surely.
But they actually can talk to people in disorderly situations. Like if there's a noise complaint, then the police can be called to come with the council officers who come along and say, yes, the sound is too high and this is the second time we've been here tonight and we're taking a stereo. They are often accompanied by police.
Well, also, having lived on the North Shore for a while, the police seem to be quite good at getting involved in brewing disorders and making them disorders.
Much, much, much worse. Yeah.
Probably sure we'll talk about that thing soon. They want to amend bail laws to prevent people behind bars on remand from contacting their alleged victims.
That sounds like a very good idea.
I'm surprised that's not the case already.
I am also very surprised. That sounds like it should be a breach of some kind of law what would be your reason for getting in touch with
carry on, though, it says...
That would be mainly about intimidating them.
They currently can receive visitors and make phone calls, which the association said is an area of concern for prosecuting domestic violence cases.
Now,
I'm concerned that you people on remand should be not allowed to make phone calls or receive visitors.
People have got to be able to maintain contact with their friends, family and community, but it's true that they shouldn't be able to contact their victims.
Yeah, and there should be some sort of, I don't know how you enforce that they don't contact someone who they make go and contact their victims. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they want to address court delays and increase their resourcing, which is a kind of non-specific incentive.
That's not a policing matter.
General, no.
That's courts, not policing.
It's what the police union would like to see.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I agree with many of those. I'm not sure how many police we actually need in New Zealand. I don't know if we're under-policed or not right now.
Pretty sure we are.
But is it by that many?
I think we're even under-policed to what the actual target is. I don't even think the government has been able to reach their own target. So, which then raises the question about, I suppose they want funding for an extra 1,900. So I don't even think they've got all the cops they're actually funded for at the moment.
We have to have really high standards for police, because we do put them in a position where they are expected to be able to deal with very serious situations. And we can't have people who are flakes or bullies or they think they have something to prove. We need to have good people as police. And it's very hard to find 1,900 new really good people who are also able to meet all of the other requirements and, you know, memorizing the law and being able to do various, you know, physical, you know, drag this thing for this distance and jump over this and run around here. You know, there's actually a lot of requirements to be a police officer. And if we suddenly decide we want to get a whole bunch more of them at once, that almost necessitates lowering our standards. And I feel like we should have higher standards, if anything.
Well, I've also argued in the past that police officers themselves should have higher standards, or should be held to a higher standard.
So they should hold themselves to a higher standard.
Yeah, individually.
They defend the bad apples.
Well,
the police association always defends the bad apples.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about individual cops. So, you know, like if I push someone, technically that's assault, right?
It depends on the circumstances. It could be jostling.
Sure, but you know, and so if I hit someone, they can hit. You know, there's these circumstances that come up where, you know, a cop is technically, you know, within their rights to have done a certain thing, but you think, you know, they kind of should be able to be the bigger man.
Use
in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like that, we should expect more from a cop in a given circumstance, given that they get, you know, various powers of arrest and things, than we would from a normal person.
Dylan, if someone walks up to you and says, Dylan, you're a fucking I want to cut your off, you would not be able to arrest them. And
no.
And similarly, if someone walks up to a police officer and says, Officer Tom, you're a fucking I want to cut your off, they also shouldn't be able to arrest them. They should be able to say, are you all right? Have you had too much to drink? Do you need me to call you a taxi? Have you escaped from some kind of halfway house where they're providing you with treatment, because you shouldn't be speaking to anyone in public like that. But they shouldn't respond like with a bat into the head or a sudden arrest necessarily. And you're right, they do need to use discretion and be the bigger person, Dylan.
Sorry.
And that's
girl cops not being able to pull their weight.
Did I say that? I also said smaller men.
Yeah.
I didn't just pick on women. Who probably will probably have higher quality communication skills because they talk so much.
That's exactly right.
Because police do look, I don't want to just turn this into a ragging on the random police thing. But, you know, they do some stupid things, like people don't even call them cops, and all they do is have a camera, and they get, like, beaten up for it. Like, just for having for videoing them going about their job. They need to be able to accept that sort of stuff. It happened in front of the court. It happened, it does happen here. Really? It hasn't happened for a while.
I'm pleased that it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
But then again, we're a relatively small country, so I guess. But, yeah, I think overall our police force is reasonably not shit.
Our police force, listen, sometimes it sounds like I'm griping about them, but there's a lot of things in New Zealand which I dearly love and I hold precious. Having an unarmed police force where most of them are humans and can talk to people on the right level at the right time. I think that's a really wonderful thing. Our police force is pretty good, I reckon. But I want everything in New Zealand to be brilliant. I want all of our economic stuff to be off the top of the chart. I want all of our living standards to be the best in the world. I want our water quality to be the best in the world. I think we should take the moral high ground wherever we can. It's really cool that we haven't got, you know, a strike wing in our Air Force. You know, it's really cool that we don't, for the most part, get involved in armed conflicts anymore. We mainly send like engineering support for the most part. Obviously the SAS is involved in some conflicts. I want us to be the best at everything, and I want us to have the best police force. I want us to have the best education system. And so every now and then I gripe about something that is generally good, but that I feel like it could be better.
Actually, you know what? I'll take that back to something about the dirty politics thing. And that is, I see a lot of national party people and right-wing people are getting instinctively defensive about what's revealed in the book.
The other guys and do it too.
Well, that's an insane claim we can collect it. But I think if I were a National Party supporter,
yeah,
I think my reaction would be the opposite. Because when I'm passionate about something, I hate to see dumb shit being done in its name, right? So whatever it is, I hate to see things that I care about. Like, it's why it really annoys me when left-wing parties, especially Labour, who seem to do it more often, make really dumb policy decisions or do just stupid public things that are clearly going to play off badly. All of that stuff, it frustrates me, and I feel almost more inclined to be critical of them than I would of, parties I don't support.
Yeah.
And I think I'm frustrated that I haven't seen a lot of that from the right wing. There should be hand wringing. There should be people in the right wing who are saying, this is unacceptable. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that there isn't. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm just not seeing it. But it doesn't seem to be a lot. And it's disappointing. Because like you say, you want New Zealand to be the best. And so you have a chip on your shoulder when it's not.
Yeah.
When it lets us down.
Yeah.
Same in this circumstance. If I were a National supporter, I'd have a chip on my shoulder when National let me down like this.
Yeah.
But as for the left-wing thing, that the left-wing does it too, and it's all a smear campaign, and this is how politics is, that's, like, who keeps letting him get away? Actually, to be fair, Michael Wilson on TVNZ's, was it Breakfast? Or no, TV3 First Line, maybe.
Mm.
Had him up about this. He said, the left has bloggers, and he's like, well, name one who's like Cameron Slater, and there isn't one.
Yeah,
there's nothing like Cameron Slater, and there's nothing like Kiwi Blog, even really on the left. Maybe
there are things like Kiwi Blog.
Yeah, I guess so.
All those funny little sites that I certainly don't read, like,
well, the
like the Standard and stuff, right? Because there are Labour Party insiders involved with some blogs, right?
But has there ever been anything like the types of?
Has there ever been a public address equivalent on the right? No, public address is, I don't know. They might claim to be centre. I don't know. Nice. They have a very high standard.
So but it's interesting. There's, like they say that this is happening on both sides, and they say bloggers this and bloggers that, but it's not. It's not even remotely not the true. Same. There's no one on the left doing anything. I mean, maybe if Labour was in government, maybe there would be. Maybe they would have figured out how to use a left wing blog to launch attacks against their enemies. But I don't know. It's very strange.
So I'm going to ask you, who is the New Zealand blogger that you've been aware was blogging for the longest time?
I have no idea.
It's Robin.
Is it? Yeah, I suppose it is.
She writes about music videos, and she writes about trips that she takes to places, and she writes about interesting little trinkets that she finds, and she talks about AA guides to this and that and the other thing, like 1950s guides.
What would have been called a blog had we known that word back in 1995, 94 even.
Yeah.
Secret Passage.
Yeah, and she is a blogger. She is part of
the terrible
word blogosphere. She is part of that, and she is not an evil, vicious, vindictive anything. She just writes about the things she's interested in, and that's what virtually everyone does with their blog. And most of those people are not interested. Their hobby is not in being as poisonous as possible. And or that's even what really Cameron Slater was.
Even if you extract that particular part of it, their blog isn't even an attempt to achieve anything.
No, it's just about sharing the thing they're interested in and hoping that other people they'll find other people who are also interested in the same stuff.
Except for my blog, is always an attempt to get people to give me free stuff. It never works.
I know. I've noticed.
It's not true. I have some free stuff.
Yeah.
Not very much free stuff.
Yeah.
So we were talking about how New Zealand police are not shit. Do you know any police forces that are a bit shit?
Italy.
No, I was really heading for more like Missouri somewhere.
Ferguson,
St. Louis.
This is absolutely bonkers. And the problem here is the militarization of American police forces with surplus military equipment, which they provide to them at such sweetheart rates, often completely free and sometimes with cash, to operate and stuff, that you'd have to be a nut not to accept it. But unfortunately, that means that these these civilian organizations that are meant to do things like make sure people are driving safely suddenly have fucking tanks. And police forces don't need tanks. The only people that need tanks is armies. And if you dress the police up like an army, they suddenly start thinking they're an army. If you think you're an army, you start behaving like an army. And instead of being a peaceful organization, you become an occupying force in your own fucking town. And so that's what we've seen in Ferguson, Missouri.
And now you know who can say all this a lot better than we can?
President Barack Obama.
No, John Oliver.
Oh, John Oliver. Okay, yes.
So go and see John Oliver's thing about this. It's fantastic. It's about 10 minutes long, I think, and it's brilliant. And it's from an Americanized Brit, so it's got a good sense of distance while also being local.
So this is John Oliver since he's had his own HBO show called Last Week Tonight. I haven't actually watched that one, but on the whole, it's really good. So most people will know him from the Daily Show, where he was one of the correspondents for a while, and he
just hosted for a period of time.
Yeah, and he was
directly
really
led to this the HBO show.
And he's actually really fantastic. So if Dylan recommends this one, I also endorse it.
Well, what's really good is you know, the Daily Show is quite good because it makes really good editorial comments sometimes, but the John Oliver's show, what is it, This Week Tonight? Last Week Tonight?
Last Week Tonight.
Last Week Tonight has a lot stronger editorialization or editorial voice. So that's really great. I highly recommend going to see that. In the meantime, do you remember, like, with the Ferguson thing? I don't know if you've been watching it, if you've been watching along. Like, there was a period towards the end of last week. So it must have been like Friday, New Zealand time, maybe, or even Thursday.
An adult took over?
Well, where it looked like everything got a little bit better.
Yeah.
There was Captain Ron, someone or other.
Yeah.
Was it Jackson?
Like a state police chief took over or something instead of a local.
He was the captain of this state highway patrol.
Yeah.
In the area.
And he started, instead of standing in a line with his officers dressed in, you know, I don't want to Godwin this, but dressed, you know, in jack boots with machine guns and firing tear gas at everyone and banning all the press. Instead, he actually marched with them, amongst them, wearing normal police officer uniform. And it was like, cool, well, finally, there's a fucking adult at the table, not trying to intimidate everyone. Now it's going to cool down. Well, it didn't.
Now, in defense, very small defense of the police, there have been, since then, a bunch of outside agitators have gone there to pick fights with the police.
Right.
But, of course, it's a lot easier to pick a fight with the police when the police want to fight.
Yeah, that's exactly
so,
right.
So the police's continued response today, I say today, which is Tuesday, I'm telling you the truth, it's Tuesday. Today, they've been arresting journalists and shooting people, maybe, I don't know. And by the time you've heard this, I'm sure they've still been arresting journalists, forcing Amnesty International deployed observers to a US town.
It's insane.
They forced them out at gunpoint.
I've heard that Bosnia are going to send in peacekeepers.
Seems likely. The Ukraine's sort of sitting back and going, hey, guys. So that's fucking mental. And from the outside, it's just so crazy. And to see police pointing high-powered rifles at unarmed protesters is just insane.
It's like they're saying, what, you're accusing us of being a bad police force? Well, how dare you? We're going to prove we're not by beating the shit out of you and threatening you all and just randomly shooting at people with rubber and wooden bullets and possibly some real bullets and like firing tear gas grenades and like those explodey flashbang things and like beating up journalists, but on camera. They banned news helicopters from being able to cover it, and they seem to think that people showing literally exactly unedited what's happening there is somehow a criminal act. It's just so far, like their frame of reference has gone so wrong that they just need to be reset somehow. And they need to have all of that equipment taken away from them. That's definitely the case.
The amazing thing was when they finally released the name of the officer that shot Michael Brown.
Yeah.
At the same time they released the name of the officer, they also released security camera footage, which they say was Michael Brown strong arm robbing some cigars from a shop.
Yeah.
Now, the officer who shot him had no idea about this robbery, didn't know Michael Brown was a suspect, so clearly it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
But that's what they did, you know, because they wanted to start the character assassination. It's shocking.
Yeah. So you can't shoot an unarmed person who is running away from you. You can't do that. That's not just. You know, if it was like an armed person who you believed was running to kill someone, then you could shoot someone in the back. I think there are heaps of circumstances where shooting someone in the back is fine. An unarmed person who is running away from you, merely because I think you have just literally shot them once or twice already and they're running away because they don't want to die, that's a time when you probably don't pull the trigger again.
Yeah.
That's a time when you cool the f*** down.
So anyway, that all sucked. And if you're not watching it, I'm sure by the time this podcast reaches your ears, the whole fucking thing is still going on. It's probably still all kinds of crazy. Has maybe morphed into some sort of new sort of crazy. But
the police will have deployed their surface-to-air missiles against the CNN roving news chopper.
Oh, no, that news chopper can't be anywhere near because there is a no-fly zone.
Yeah, FAA mandated.
No-fly zone, that's right.
Absolutely nuts. They've lost their fucking minds.
What this has highlighted, and the same thing happened during the Occupy thing, is it's fucking amazing how technology works. There are people there who are broadcasting live via cellular networks. It's amazing to watch. Yeah. It's incredible. And it's unlike anything. It's an astonishing sort of development in what technology has enabled. You know, the democratization of things being democratized by technology. This is one of those things. It's democracy being democratized by technology.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Livestream.com has probably six, usually it's like six or seven people live streaming from the protests and from the clashes.
Amazingly enough, the Vice guys got shot at. Like the Vice guys. Now, I don't know about that specific one because
Vice
is a lot of people.
Their press badge
ripped off
on live camera and threatened with arrest.
Like, I've seen Vice crews in some scary fucking places around the world.
North Korea.
And it's true that they've actually sometimes been fucked with. Like one of their guys was snatched up and kidnapped by the pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine, and he was beaten up and kept captive in a basement for a couple of days and then released. So things do happen to them around the world, but it almost never happens, and it is fucking nuts. It is absolutely nuts that it happened in the States.
In the meantime, in the UK, Assange is coming out eventually.
Yes, he says.
He says
he doesn't say when. He doesn't say why.
Soon.
Soon, but why he won't say. Apparently, he's got some health problems.
Well, yeah, he didn't say that.
He's looking porky.
He did say why. The reason what he said is that he expects law changes in the UK soon.
Yeah.
They are talking about with removing themselves from the European Union arrest warrant, something or other treaty, basically the thing under which his extradition has been pursued, basically because a European arrest warrant was issued for him. That's why he was to be extradited to Sweden. So they are apparently going to remove themselves. The UK is apparently going to remove themselves from that treaty or that obligation or whatever it is. So he thinks that once they do that, they won't therefore have a reason to extradite him.
That sounds not true.
Well, I'm not sure. Like, I think it's true that they are talking about changing how they are, you know, obligated under that particular thing. I don't know how soon this is likely to be. I don't know if there's legislation pending. I don't think there is, not from what I could tell. And I've seen some lawyers suggest that no, it won't make a fucking difference. He's already, you know, the extradition order's already been made. Any law change is not likely to be retroactive.
Right.
For someone, you know, wanted on a arrest warrant that had already been honoured. So, you know, who knows? Drama, drama, drama. I guess he was getting worried that people had forgotten about him.
Yeah.
£7 million the UK has spent on police waiting outside the embassy in case he happens to step out.
Yeah. So, on Three News, there's a nice old lady called Hilda Griffin. She's 103 years old. She says that when she turned 21 and she had first opportunity to vote, she voted, of course, for National, just like her parents had. Now, unfortunately, that would have been 1931, and the National Party didn't exist until 1936. Not only had her parents never voted for them, but when she was 21, she could literally not possibly have voted for National. This was a story that came out like on the Friday morning, 2 days after the Nikki Haga book was released, Dirty Politics. And this was like, I think, I don't know how this even happened. It's so bizarrely poorly fact-checked. And it's just one of those good news, national for life stories. It's just, it's freakishly weird and obviously wrong and just so fucking strange. Amanda Gillies from 3 News. She is definitely not going to win any Reporter of the Year awards. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, how does that happen?
To their credit, TV3, who have moderated comments, did approve comments fact-checking the story and pointing out that it is impossible for it to be true.
Yeah.
But she should have done that. Or her producer. Someone should have done that.
Is this just one of those, I haven't seen the story, is this just one of those like random person on the street kind of interview sort of, you know, political? Like, did someone, yeah, it's weird. I'm going to assume that it was something like that, where it's just kind of like a little Vox Pops thing and it's kind of grown up from there.
Bloody weird, I tell you what. Anyway, it'll be in the show notes. Centenarian voted for more than 82 years. She reckons she's voted for National 27 times.
Good for her.
Good for her. Oh. Ebola-weary Liberia gives shoot-on-site orders. I don't know if that's necessary.
Oh, just that, yeah. Didn't some people break out a whole of Ebola patients from a quarantine centre in the last few days?
I don't know, man. I haven't.
Pretty sure they did. Some insane. There are people in Liberia. Is it Liberia? I think it's Liberia. Who don't believe it's a thing. Who don't believe Ebola is a real thing. They think it's some sort of scam.
Yeah.
And so they with guns, broke into this thing and released people.
Oh right, it's the conspiracy theory that it's the doctors who are infecting people with something and killing them, right?
Probably.
This would be the same sort of people that believe that if you rape a virgin, it will take away your HIV.
Seems certain that that will work.
Because, I mean, there are people that believe things that clearly are not true. From Lifehacker, best of Lifehacker. How to help kids cope with irrational fears.
Oh, yeah, that's good, because my 3-year-old told me he was scared before of the rat. There's no rat.
What if there is a rat? Not. What if he has a different
If there's a rat in his bedroom. Hiding under his soft toys, and he only comes out when I'm not in the room.
Yeah.
That is probably what happens.
What do you think it is that makes him afraid when you're not there?
It's the way I go outside the door, and then I hammer on the door and I'm around the outer wall, and I say, "It's ratty, I'm coming to eat you."
Yeah, that might be it.
I don't know if that's what does it, though. I'm just guessing. I just read a tweet, and it took me a moment to understand.
Yeah.
The joke. The tweet is, it's from a guy whose name I can't pronounce, and I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Says, nothing is as effective as homeopathy.
Okay. So, tell me, is there anything to back that up?
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
There you go. See? Nothing is as effective as homeopathy.
Right. That's not actually true, because the placebo is a known effect. You know, it can be measured. You can measure the placebo effect, and you can also measure what I think is a much more effect, which is the nocebo effect, which is if you tell someone about the negative side effects, they're more likely to experience them, and then if they don't know about the negative side effects. Placebo is real, and homeopathy is placebo. And so actually homeopathy is more effective than nothing.
Well, except if you told nothing, if you told someone that nothing was something.
No, that's not true, because the placebo effect, you can measure. The placebo effect is stronger depending on the treatment. So if you give someone
Look, David, it was just a funny one-liner.
No, but this is really interesting, because if you give someone fake treatments, if you give them like a fake pill, that will have, you know, a pretty normal placebo effect. But if you give them a fake injection, then the placebo effect is stronger. If you give someone a fake IV bag, then it is even stronger still.
Did you see, there was a study a while ago, and I don't know where it is and I don't know what the details are at the moment, but there was a study a while ago that found that even when people were told they were taking a placebo, it still was effective.
It's an amazing effect. And you know, the more study that's done into that, the better. But homeopathy is ridiculous. And you know what's better than homeopathy? Medicine. If you have a problem, go to a doctor, someone who has been to university, studied health, and has learned how to diagnose your issue and ideally how to provide you with some sort of solution to your problem, because none of those traits are true of people, generally speaking, who prescribe homeopathic, quote, remedies, unless they believe that what you are claiming to be suffering is psychosomatic, in which case, hey, homeopathy is going to be as good as anything.
Sorry, I'm just going to tell you another thing that I saw on Twitter while I was not listening to you. Amnesty International sent a tweet that said, US can't tell other countries to improve their records on policing and peaceful assembly if it won't clean up its own human rights record. To which the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, on Twitter replied, your work has saved far fewer lives than American interventions, so suck it.
Right.
That tweet's been deleted. It's now replaced with, our sincerest apologies to @Amnesty and our followers. Our last tweet was sent in error. We're reviewing internal policies for social media. Sent in error.
Who was that sent by? Oh, I've got another auto-playing thing and I don't know what it is.
Anyway, yeah, right.
I'm sorry, I'm suffering from auto-playing video. Oh, God, finally I found it. Sorry about that dead air, which I probably won't edit out. I'm having a problem. I don't know if I mentioned it since we've
been... Well, you could edit out the dead air and just leave the apology for the dead air that is no longer there.
All right. I'm very sorry for the high production values. You never noticed the problem that just didn't occur as far as you're aware.
I'm sorry for that screaming high-pitched noise that you didn't just hear.
So there's a whole lot of more stories about dirty politics. I mean, we're going to talk about it next week because I'm sure that more will have come of it. We probably won't talk about it much unless I can finally get a reply from Nikki Hager.
Or if we manage to get Whale Dump to talk to us. Whale Dump, if you're listening to this, get in touch with us. We'd love to talk to you.
If you
some sort of crazy voice disguising thing, it'd be amazing.
If you think you know who Whale Dump is, don't tell us and don't tell anyone. Get in touch with them and suggest that they will talk to us. They can just create a fake Skype account. I won't say what it is, and they can call in and we'll do whatever voice stuff we need, or they can do it on their end and we'll do whatever's required. It'd be really, but I don't want it to be a not real Whale Dump. I don't want it to be a fake person. That would be really stupid. We'd figure it out and it would just be a waste of everyone's time. But if you think you know who it really is, it'd be really fun to talk to them, actually, I reckon. Ali Lata, I have no idea who that is. She is apparently the hero star. Oh, she was the one that could, with mirrors, some kind of multiple personality twins.
Is that the one who had she was normal and she also had an incredibly violent, strong alter ego?
Yeah. So this is a Three News article. Ali Lata abandons natural childbirth plans. Pregnant Ali Lata is convinced she will never live out her dream of having a natural childbirth because she can't cope with the pain. I say, having very recently been present for a very painful natural childbirth, I don't blame her.
I'm not a woman.
But let me say another thing.
I don't really understand the obsession with natural childbirth. We have lots of great medicine.
That's true. But let me say one thing. She definitely could do it. She can cope with the pain. I think that all women are capable of doing it. But if you don't want to, I just don't see why you would. I mean, don't try and do something that actually scares you. Do something that makes you feel more excited about having your child. I just don't know why you'd do it in a way that actually you feel afraid of.
Yes.
It's unnecessary. Yeah. People should be flexible. It's really important that if people are expecting a child, that they stay flexible. Because whatever your plan is, it's not going to happen that way.
No, things change, and things change quite quickly at various points.
Yeah. We were not to go too much information, but birth plan, we were like, use whatever medicine is available, do whatever is required to have a good outcome. And as it turned out, it kind of progressed so fast that there wasn't really time to use any anesthetic, and so she had the full noise, zero pain killing version of childbirth, and it was quite difficult, but you know, she got through it.
And now you have a little baby.
Now we have a wonderful little baby who is very, very still upset after his vaccinations. I really feel like vaccinations need to be improved. We need to keep working on that technology.
I think we are. I don't think anyone stops working on it. So
listen,
that's good.
No question. Of course, there are a whole lot of scientists all over the world working in labs trying to work on new vaccines and old vaccines. I just hope they will hurry up and make them just a little bit more pleasant because, neonatal group, like a lot of the women have been talking about, you know, their experience with the vaccinations. We've all had them obviously over the last couple of weeks because of the nature of the group. And heaps of them are reporting very similar, very unpleasant side effects, you know, and they're all pretty much expected and pretty much normal And pretty temporary, you know, pretty short-term stuff. But still, really, like, literally the worst thing that has happened in all of those kids' lives is the vaccination. And I just don't think that seems necessary. It would be better if there was no upset.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe there were. I'm sure probably vaccinations were much worse a long time ago. Well, not that long ago.
I expect the needles were probably stupidly bigger.
What, aren't we supposed to have little things that just, like, the derma, you know, the little...
The things that fire it through the skin.
Yeah.
They're like ultrasonic little sprayers that go...
Psh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that would be nice, wouldn't it? I suspect that some of these things probably have to be intramuscular. The newest one, the oral one, what was it? I've actually got the sheet here. The rotavirus one. I'm really actually interested by vaccinations that you drink.
I didn't know that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's a really strange thing. But... I mean, hey, why not? And now he probably is less likely to get rotavirus. But unfortunately, having the vaccination for rotavirus has side effects of like diarrhea, and actual rotavirus side effects, diarrhea. Of course, much more serious and potentially life-threatening. Yeah. Anyway, what do you think it is that Judith Collins has over John Key? There must be something.
No, so I was thinking about that, right? So I don't think there is, but I think that now that we've got this far into the cycle with Dirty Politics, the response cycle, and John Key's rolled out the it's not a big deal, it's all nonsense, it's politics as usual, there's nothing to worry about.
The other excuses. Guys do it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a left-wing conspiracy theorist.
That he can't fire Collins now, because that is an admission that there was a problem.
Yeah.
So I think that's just I think that's the current position. I don't think he can fire her at all, because to do so would admit that there is substance to the complaints that the left make about the seriousness of it all.
Let's play a new game. Cat or baby, baby or cat. There was a sound, what the hell was that?
Actually, Cat or Baby is a great game. We used to have that game even when we didn't have a cat, which was quite strange.
Yeah.
Because babies often sound like cats, but I don't have a baby. I have a toddler and a cat, and that was a cat.
The vaccinations turned our kid into an annoying kid like other people's kids, because our kid didn't fucking cry until he got a fucking vaccination, and now he grizzles.
He'll probably go back to normal.
I hope so. Some kids never go back. I was talking to one of my pals at work, and one of his childhood friends, they were twin girls, and one of them suffered permanent brain damage from her vaccinations, and the other one had no side effects at all.
Well, there you go. That's pretty horrible.
Yep, it's pretty horrible. But,
For what it's worth, I've had three kids go through vaccinations, and I can't think of anything particularly exciting that happened in any of them.
Yeah. Hopefully it's something that I will forget about quite soon, but I'm still actually a bit f***ing annoyed about the whole thing.
Oh, well, you've got another few months until the next lot.
Yeah. Four in one day, it seems, but is it even four? I think it's actually more than four. It was like pneumococcus and rotavirus penta and DPAP IPV Hep B Hib. So it's actually... it might have been as many as six f***ing vaccinations in one goddamn morning. That's a lot for a six-week-old. That's nuts. All right, so Ice Bucket Challenge. You're familiar with this. This is something that, for all I knew, has started in New Zealand.
And yeah, I thought so too.
And it travelled around, and it's a really weird idea because
you dump water on your head, where... give some money to someone, and then tell other people to dump water on their head.
Exactly. And it was like a cancer charity here. And then it went to the States. And I was like, oh, cool, it made it to the States. That's really interesting. For all I know, it started in the States, and it's just kind of going around in cycles. And in the States, it's like for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which is like a neurological degenerative thing, which I think it's made like $9 million for them or something. But it seems like is it really that prevalent? Is that something that really needs... I mean, every one of these things needs support for, you know, ongoing research and so on. But is that like is ALS a big problem that needs a lot of support compared to cancer? I don't know.
I don't know. You could also just give money to ALS. You don't even.
But it's come back again on a second round into New Zealand, and I've been called out, so now I have to do it.
Who the hell called you out?
Carl Avon on Twitter.
Oh, I see.
Good dude.
I should warn you. Yep. But if you or anyone else chooses to call me out, I'm not going to do it. You're just wasting your time.
I'm actually having a really hard time in figuring out who to call out, because I'm going to do it. I guess I'm going to do it on the weekend because I need daylight hours and I'm not really here.
You've got 24 hours, don't you?
I'm going to do it whenever the f*** I want. I'm going to do it on Saturday or Sunday, probably. I need daylight.
Fair enough.
I need daylight. I can't do it on... I mean, I think he did it yesterday afternoon, probably. But yeah, so I'm gonna. I want to step it up a little bit, though. So we'll see. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I think it's gonna be a little bit more than just dumping an ice bucket over my head. But maybe that's all it'll be. We'll see. It's a funny idea, though, that you dump the the idea is that you dump the water over your head, or you pay to the charity. And it's like, wait a minute.
I thought you had to do both.
Well, I think most people do both. But
you're right. No, it says in the Wikipedia thing here, it says the activities involving dumping a bucket of ice water on one's head or donating to the ALS Association.
And I think everyone who participates in this thing don't necessarily donate to ALS. Just donate to whoever and name it. I mean, this is one.
Yeah, in which case, like someone like Bill Gates doing it is like dumb. You know, Bill, don't dump water on your head. Give some money to ALS. Of course, I'm sure he's giving more money to anything that is relevant than anyone else.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. The internet is dumb.
So I'll do it, and I'm not going to do ALS. I'm probably going to do leukemia and blood cancer in New Zealand, just because, you know, good guys.
Obama's been called out many, many times, by the way. He has said he won't do the challenge. He won't do the ice packet thing, but he's donated money to charity.
Right.
Just in case you were curious.
Right. It's a hard job. No, I'm not going to call him out. It's a hard job picking who to call out. Because I want it to be people who actually will play along. I don't want to waste them. I want three people to do it, you know. But people who will actually play along might have...
Fox,
might have...
Avery, and...
Yeah. Yeah, he'll do it. He'll have no fucking choice, the little shit.
Sell?
No fucking way. No fucking way is either of them doing it.
Oh, fine then.
Not a fucking chance. I would not let one of them do it, and the other one would not do it. Anyway, I mean, Fox couldn't lift a bucket over his own head.
Oh, I think you'd have to help, clearly.
Yeah. All right, anyway, I think the show's over. Thank you so much.
The show's so over.
Yeah, it's so over. This show's so over. Thank you very much, Adam Boileau, security consultant and, I don't know, organizer or whatever of the KiwiCon hacker conference that happens every year in Wellington.
I bet if he has a business card for that, I bet it's got some amusing title on it.
It probably does. He's a super good dude who we've both worked with. I only worked with him at iHack, but I think you worked with him somewhere else as well.
Yeah.
And I gave the best security briefing that I've ever been at. It was fantastic. And also thank you to Dr. Matthew Dentith, our official expert on conspiracy theories.
I'd like to say both of our guests this week were experts in their respective fields.
Actual experts. I am not an actual expert.
Actual proper recognized experts at stuff.
And so neither is Dylan.
No one recognizes me as shit.
What? They don't what? Recognize
me? No one recognizes me as shit. I dress up in a shit costume and no one recognizes me.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. We won't see you, but you'll hear us. We won't hear you. Goodbye. Oh, no, wait. He was Dylan Reeve and I'm Morgan Avery.
That'll never work.
It. Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.